take your Bibles and you turn back with me again, if you will, to the book of Jonah. Jonah chapter 1, and I'm going to read beginning at verse 1 down through verse 14. You follow along in your Bible, if you will, and I hope you're enjoying this series of messages on the book of Jonah. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said every one to his fellow, Come, and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation? Whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought, and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up, and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Our subject today, God's method of salvation. Salvation is not walking the aisle, uttering a prayer, looking at a verse, or being told by a personal worker that you are saved. Salvation may include all this, but salvation is a traumatic experience with the Lord, which is never repeated again. It happens once in the lifetime of the individual. It's never repeated again. And the salvation experience a person has with the Lord Jesus Christ eclipses everything this side of heaven, with the result being that the person knows Christ, and Christ knows the individual. There's no tongue speaking in salvation. There's no baptism of the Holy Ghost, so to speak, as they are talking of today with regard to salvation. No, sir, my friend. Salvation consists of a traumatic experience. There comes a crisis in the life of an individual before God saves that sinner. And that crisis, that individual knows all about. And I'll tell you something else. While it's an awful experience for him while he's going through it, it becomes a blessed one because it leads him to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, salvation being a traumatic experience is brought about by the teaching of God the Holy Spirit to the awakened sinner. Years ago, Baptists and other people used to believe in Holy Spirit conviction, repentance, and the revelation of Christ to the human heart. But today, that's all been substituted. In place of Holy Spirit conviction, there's a long, drawn-out invitation net when drags individuals down the aisle. In place of repentance, there is instead commitment. And in place of revelation, we find there's a palming off of a verse of Scripture or two by a personal worker upon that individual, and that person is told that they are saved, but there's no lasting reality. This is the reason our churches are filled with individuals today who don't know if they've ever been really converted. And my friend, I'm speaking to some of you at this hour. Now, don't you touch that dial. You listen to me, because if you're not saved, rest assured of one thing, you're going to go straight to hell when you die and leave this earth. There's a heaven to gain, there's a hell to shun. And my voice is one that God has caused you to listen to, so you better pay attention and follow closely as we look at the Word of God today. Now, in our lesson this time, we shall look at God's method of salvation. The Lord doesn't have a dozen different ways for a sinner to get saved. He has one way. It's the same from Genesis to Revelation, all through the Word of God. And God's method of salvation is found on just about every page of God's book. God's method of salvation is found right here in the teaching of the first chapter of the book of Jonah. And our lesson today will fall into three parts, and I hope we have the time to cover all three. First of all, we're going to look at the teaching of the Holy Spirit to the awakened sinner. Secondly, we shall see that Jonah is a picture or a type of the Lord Jesus Christ as our substitute. And then thirdly, there will be the practical application if we have the time. Now, when God sets out to save a sinner, there are five things that take place when God begins to deal with that individual. In Jonah chapter 1 and verses 4 through 6, we see Jonah trying to run away from the Lord God of heaven. God gave him a simple command. He disobeyed and turned his back upon the Lord and tried to get away from the Lord God of heaven. This is what takes place every time God begins to deal with a sinner. The sinner will not be saved if he can help it, and he'll do his best to run away. But I'm so glad that the Lord doesn't let that sinner get away. Now, in Holy Spirit conviction, when God awakens that sinner learns five different things. Here is what they are. The sinner becomes familiar with the wrath of the Lord God of heaven against that individual. In Jonah chapter 1 and verse 4 we read, "But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep." Here we see the great wind, which not only awakened the entire ship crew, that also had the effect of awakening Jonah. The first thing God has to do is to awaken a sinner to the realization of the fact that he, the individual, is under the condemnation and wrath of Almighty God. You see, my friend, if you die without the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not going to be condemned. You are already condemned, because the Word of God says that the wrath of God abideth upon every individual that does not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He that believeth on the Son of God is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed the witness and the reality that God has given to that individual. Has the Lord ever opened your heart and shown you that God is angry with you? The second thing that takes place is this. There's a storm that threatens their lives. The entire crew were afraid because of the immensity and the severity of this storm. Yet we find people today have to be awakened. And beloved, when God sets out to save a sinner, he awakens that sinner by causing a storm to arise in that sinner's soul. The sinner learns, and he learns, and he learns it by experience and by revelation as God teaches him from his word and by the work of the Holy Spirit. The sinner becomes familiar with the reality that God is angry with that individual. Then, the second thing that takes place is this. There comes also the feebleness of his false gods, which were once trusted. Again, Jonah chapter 1 and verse 5. "Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not." Here we see the feebleness of the gods that were trusted. You see, the false gods of today can't bring an individual through eternity. No, sir, my friend, there's only one person that can bring you through eternity, and that is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And before you ever get saved, if you ever do, you're going to cast away all your false gods, which even now have given you self-assurance and confidence, and you're at ease in Zion, so to speak. And when God sends a storm upon you, if he does, by sending the storm of Holy Spirit conviction, you're going to cast aside those false gods like these sailors did, and you're going to begin to cry unto the Lord God of heaven. Then we see the third thing. There was the futility of works on the part of the person. in Jonah chapter 1 again, verse 5. Notice, then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. Here you find the futility of works on the part of the individual. Notice, these men cried unto their gods. They awakened Jonah and told him to cry unto his God. But did you notice one thing? It didn't stop the storm, whatever. You may cry unto your gods like the children of Baal did in the days of Elijah. And you'll find out, my friend, that those gods can't save you. You know why? There's only one who can, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Because there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. And neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You may work your fingers to the bone, but I'll tell you this, it won't do you a bit of good. Just a couple of weeks ago, I had one of our fine young ladies, the mother of three beautiful children, and a young lady, and she came and called me one day and said, Pastor, she said, I just got saved. And her testimony, which is in print, if you want it, you write for it. Her testimony tells us how that she tried to work her fingers to the bone, thinking that she could please God, and she found out that the futility of works on her part didn't do one thing, but only added to her damnation. And beloved, it's still the same today, because you're saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now there's the fourth thing, and right here I'm going to leave a whole lot of you. Most of you listening to me today are free willers. You think that God has to save a person when the Lord God of heaven calls, or when that individual calls on the Lord God of heaven. You think that God made salvation possible, and now the rest of it is up to you. But my friend, the first chapter of the book of Jonah will show you that what you are believing at this hour is heresy. Now notice verse 14 of Jonah chapter 1. The fourth thing that an individual learns as God the Holy Spirit deals with that person is this. He faces the sovereignty of God in salvation or damnation. In Jonah chapter 1 and verse 14, we read, Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased you. Now right here I'm going to jump creek, so to speak, and I'm going to leave you behind. And what is this? The vast majority of you today, you think that salvation consists of the sinner accepting Christ. But my friend, it's always the other way around. If God ever saves you, it will be because you'll stand before the Lord God of heaven, facing the sovereignty of God in salvation or damnation. In other words, you'll learn, and you'll learn it by experience. You'll learn it by revelation from the Word. You'll learn it as God the Holy Spirit teaches you, and they all work together. You will learn that God doesn't have to save you, but that the Lord will have mercy on whom He will have mercy, and whom He will, He hardeneth. And when God brings you down the road of conviction, my friend, and puts you under Holy Spirit conviction, you'll face the sovereignty of God in salvation or damnation, and you'll wonder if the Lord God of heaven will save you. These men on this boat with Jonah cried the same thing. Notice, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us this innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it has pleased thee. Here is what an individual learns under Holy Spirit conviction. And then last of all, the fact of the death of Jonah, a personal responsibility, and there was no other way. Now you say, what in the world are you talking about? The only way these sailors could be saved was this. They had to trust in the death of Jonah. They had to throw Jonah overboard. There was no other way. They tried to row the ship to land, and they could not. And they were brought to one recourse, which was they were to take up Jonah and throw him overboard. In like manner, under Holy Spirit conviction, the individual is brought to the fact that of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's his personal responsibility. In other words, he is responsible for the death of Christ, as these sailors knew they were responsible for the death of Jonah, but there was no other way. You see, my friend, your sin nailed the Lord Jesus Christ to the tree, and you are responsible for the death of the Lord Jesus Christ at this hour. Now, some of you might say, "Oh, Pastor, I don't believe that." You don't have to believe it, but it's true anyway. For God has laid upon you the charge that's recorded in heaven against you, that it's your sin as well as mine that nailed the Lord Jesus Christ to the tree. And my friend, you are responsible by your wicked hands for nailing the Lord Jesus to the cross of Calvary. And listen, you have to trust in the death of Christ for you. There is no other way. These men had to rely absolutely and completely upon Jonah being cast overboard and dying in their behalf. There was no other way for them to be saved. In like manner today, you must and you will come to rely upon and trust and rest completely in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that Christ died for you, or else, my friend, you will never be saved. Now, there's no other way. It is right here that a lot of people stumble and fall along the wayside. They're like these sailors. They rowed hard, but they couldn't get out of the storm. And when Holy Spirit conviction is brought upon you, rest assured of one thing. Your cry will be like the cry of these sailors. We beseech thee, O Lord. We beseech thee. Let us not perish for this man's blood. And you'll cast yourself upon the Lord Jesus Christ as your substitute and your Savior. Oh, beloved, today there is no other way. Now let me ask you a question in this closing moment. Have you ever come down the road of conviction like I've described before you today? Have you ever been familiarized with the wrath of God upon you, the feebleness of your false gods, the futility of works on your part, facing the sovereignty of God in salvation or damnation, and the fact of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ was your personal responsibility, and there's no other way? Oh, my friend, if you don't know what I'm talking about, begin now to ask the Lord to open your heart and show you your need. Until we meet again, this is Pastor Peter Nortier saying goodbye, and may the Lord spare you before it's too late.